You're listening to the Hippie Haven Podcast. I'm Callie, and it's my life mission to provide you with the tools and resources you need to spark positive change in your community. Just over 3 years ago, I started Bestowed Essentials, which has now grown to be South Dakota's largest handmade soap company, though we do make a variety of other beauty and cleaning products. Bestowed Essentials has been recognized by FedEx as one of their top 100 small businesses for 2 years in a row. My team and I also created the Hippie Haven Shop, an online zero-waste store with a physical store in South Dakota as well, and of course, I host this Hippie Haven podcast. If you're new here, I release an episode most Wednesdays, which you can get instantly downloaded to your phone for easy listening by subscribing to this podcast on any of the major podcasting apps. The show notes and full transcript for every episode are available on my website, hippiehavenpodcast.com. You can also learn more about me on the website or by following along on Instagram at Hippie Haven Shop. I have two special guests today, sisters Nina and Sonia Montenegro, who just published an incredible book called Mending Life, a handbook for repairing clothes and hearts. The sisters have also previously written two other books together, A Year in the Garden and 3 Year Garden Journal. Sonia and Nina are also co-founders and co-creative directors of a design studio, The Far Woods, which is located on an organic farm outside Portland, Oregon. Today, they're both sharing their mending journey and all their best tips on how you can repair your own clothes at home. So let's get started. So tell me more about both of you and kind of how you got started down this path in life.
This is Sonia, and both of us have been into art our entire lives. We grew up in a really artistic household. Both of our parents are artists and many of our extended family is. And so we were really surrounded by creativity all through growing up and really got a chance to try out anything and everything from painting to sculpting to sewing to woodworking and really have it in our bones. And so it feels really natural to just sort of continue that, and we feel very fortunate to have been able to turn it into a business that supports both of us, where we're able to express our creative voices and offer our visions to the world. And, you know, as a part of that, we feel really like the role of an artist can be to shape a narrative and vision sort of a future that we would like to see. And so a lot of our work is towards that end. And mending certainly has become a practice for us that is exactly along those lines. We first, of course, many people in their family stories have grandparents who know about mending and who probably did a lot of mending in their lives. And just like most people, we too, our grandparents were pretty adept at it. But we didn't learn that ourselves from them. And later on in life, saw mending in different places, but particularly were intrigued by Sashiko and Boro. I saw an exhibit at the Portland Japanese Garden all about Japanese textiles and the tradition of Boro, which is a very thrifty, mending out of pure necessity tradition from old Japan. And it was just struck by its beauty. And that sort of launched me into looking, and both of us looking into more of it. And we just started to learn it ourselves from there.
Yeah, this is Nina talking. we started to learn it from there, and we started posting some pictures of our mending on our social media. And there was a pretty interesting response, just a lot of excitement and interest in knowing how we were patching our clothes or how we were darning our clothes. And so we decided to whip together a little zine, just sharing the basics of how to, and there was a lot of excitement around it. And so we ended up making a book that was more complete, and
people were super hungry for this information. Like, it felt like it struck a chord with folks that they really, really wanted to have this skill in their back pocket. And it felt necessary for their lives.
Yeah, and it seems like such an interesting, I wouldn't say transition, because you both have worked and are still working in design and fine arts, and now you're writing a book on mending, which is just totally in a different direction. How long were you mending? How was that a part of your life? And what has been the reaction with what you were doing before and are still doing, and now having a book about mending specifically?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely started mending more recently. And that's one of the reasons, you know, in making this book, we felt very strongly like this is something that anyone can do and anyone can pick up. And it's a really important point for us to keep that accessibility and I don't want to say the bar kind of low, but that's truly the way it is, where it's like the entry point needs to be there for everyone. And it really is there for everyone, where it's pretty simple to start learning. And it feels like, for us, it was like a great way to practice sewing, and it was a great way to engage with our own clothes. And so from an artistic standpoint, it made a lot of sense to start being active participants in our wardrobe and creating this like conversation with our clothes, where we were adding different pieces and intrigue onto it that ended up like feeling more like little art pieces. And so it's very practical, but in our lives, it's also very artistic.
I love that, saying it as art.
Yeah, I mean, we like to say mending is a story on a sleeve, because when we wear our clothes that have patches on them, we inevitably get comments from folks like asking where that came from, why did we do that, how did we do that? And that's something that everyone can do and share with their community.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, so many of our grandparents knew how to mend, but unfortunately that hasn't been a skill that's been passed down very much. And for me, when I think about mending, I definitely think about my grandma first and foremost, because she mended. I go to her house every year or so, and I'll save up clothes and bring them specifically to her, or socks that need to be darned, and bring them for her to do. And so for me, mending seems like a huge, extraordinary task, because it's never been part of my life, or really even part of this generation's life whatsoever. So what do you need to have specific skills to mend clothes? Is it actually as hard as I'm imagining it is?
No, you know, it really takes just some basic sewing skills and basic weaving skills, which we cover both of those in the book. And then you can build off of those and practice with making smaller stitches. But it really is possible for everyone to do. And a lot of people feel like they don't have time to mend, but when we kind of like examine our days and we see how much time we spend on our phones, or, you know, dead time where we're just waiting in line or on the train, there is actually a lot of time in our day to slip it in. And like, it's really satisfying to have a project going that you can just pull out of your purse and just do a few stitches on. And so, yeah, there is a lot of time to mend in our days, and anyone can do it.
I have a couple projects going where I will do a few rows of the darning, and then I'll get distracted, or I'll have something to go do, and I'll put it down, and then I'll come back to it, and I'll do a little more, put it down, come back to it. It's a really nice thing to sort of sneak in, and eventually the project gets done, and it's done.
Yeah, and it's also important to note that, like, if you start to pay more attention to your clothes and look them over on laundry day or something like that, and you catch holes early, it's much, much easier and feels less daunting to do your mending and to reinforce threadbare areas than when you have like 10 gaping holes already on your pants or something. So that's always a good thing to learn to do too.
Very smart. Yeah. So what tools do we need to start with very basic mending?
Well, it's sort of fun. Most things people probably already have, or you could rummage around in like your grandma's junk drawer and find a lot of the things. It's really just a needle, thread, and then any kind of scraps of fabric for patches, or some leftover yarn from projects for darning. And a lot of those things can be found at like a yard sale, or, you know, someone else might have something you can borrow. So it's definitely a practice you can begin without having to go out and buy something new. You know, you don't need all sorts of brand new tools for this endeavor, and that's really exciting. So we like to encourage used materials and anything you sort of have around already. One thing that we like to do, though, is it's really good to save denim and jeans. Like if you cut off jeans to make into shorts, or if you have a pair of pants that's just totally ripped to shreds because you haven't been mending it, you can cut that up and use that for patches for other jeans. And it's much more economical than going out and buying new denim.
Yeah, unraveling a sweater to use the yarn if you'd like, things like that to get real thrifty.
Mm-hmm. Are there specific types of fabric that are easier or way harder to mend than others?
Yeah, we like to suggest that people, especially beginning menders, stay away from trying to mend silks and gauze, anything really thin and slinky and stretchy. There are certain ways to do it, but it's probably going to be more frustrating than satisfying. But if, you know, starting out, or most of us are wearing jeans or cotton shirts, those types of garments are a lot easier to mend. And then learning to darn a sock is one of the most satisfying things. When we teach classes, this is the like project that has the most aha, like has that aha moment of this thing I couldn't wear and now I can wear it again. And it's really a forgiving project, because if it's not the best mend, it'll still be in your shoe, and you can kind of just be proud of it in your shoe and not have to wear it around and be too worried about what people think about your mending skills yet.
But we also really encourage just experimentation. One of our mantras is there are many good ways to mend. And so not being afraid to pick up a silky garment and like try to mend it when it has a hole, it's only going to be improved by you adding to it and trying. And, you know, it has a hole anyway, so you're not going to ruin it.
Now, of course, your book is a resource for beginning menders, and it's Mending Life. But what online resources did you both utilize when you were first starting out with this skill set?
YouTube.
We
learned a lot from YouTube, and we also learned a lot from other menders on Instagram, sharing short videos on certain skills. And then also asking older members of our community is really helpful, too. They're eager to share this knowledge, and you know, they've had sometimes a lifetime of practice. So it's really sweet to inquire from them.
It's sort of interesting when we started writing this book a couple years ago, the internet is full of resources, but there weren't too many books out about this. And so it felt like the library and the bookstore was a little slim pickings. But now there's lots of books coming out along with our own. And so hopefully there'll be a really robust section for mending and repair at most libraries and bookstores. And that's really exciting, because this is something that we feel really needs to be back into common knowledge and back in the conversation.
And you mentioned saving a pair of jeans if you cut them into shorts, or saving pants to use that fabric for patches. But what else do you do with clothing that is just beyond repair?
We love to upcycle it into other things. We make strips out of it for braided rugs or for weaving. We turn it into a scrap quilt, an improv quilt. We make cleaning rags, reusable gift wrap.
We make little dolls out of them.
Yeah. Produce bags. I mean, the list goes on and on.
I mean, the creative ideas are kind of endless. I mean, it does definitely feed kind of a hoarding side where you end up with lots and lots of scraps of fabric. But then an improv quilt is a really good way, you know, where you're not necessarily following a traditional pattern, but you're sewing those scraps together to make a really cool, crazy quilt. Uses up a lot of fabric all at once and can be a really fun project.
Or we're about to host like a little mending morning at our house and do like a fabric swap. So, you know, a scrap swap could be really fun too, to see what leftovers from other people's projects there are.
So really a garment that's like kind of beyond repair, it often has a part on it that's, you know, still usable. So you can cut that up. You know, there is still the reality of throwing away fabric, and what we advocate is just lessening that. And so, you know, you're not going to beat yourself up over having to throw some parts of fabric away, but like the less you can do that, the better.
And I have a bag that's full of scraps that I can't bear to throw away, mm-hmm. that I'm planning on making like a poof as a kind of a footstool for my couch. I'll just,
you know, stuffing it with the scraps.
So that's the end goal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's such a good way to reuse it. And I absolutely love how you just mentioned doing some sort of fabric swap or a scrap swap. Here at my store, we've been doing book swaps and clothing swaps and plant and seed swaps, but I'd never thought of that. And that is really interesting. I think it would pair so well with doing some sort of mending fair, repair fair, or a class on mending or something like that. So thank you for the idea. I'm definitely going to put that on my to-do list to try to look at hosting something like that. All right, let's talk about, why is it so important that we're mending clothes? Why is it important that we don't let these skills die out with our grandparents? Why do we revitalize this?
There are so many reasons, and that's really exciting. Not too long ago, people had to mend their clothes. Cloth was really precious. Cloth making was really expensive. And so those skills were really thriving. But now it can feel like we don't need to mend, or it's okay to not know how to do that because we can just go out and buy something new. Things are so cheap, so cheap. But the reality is that we need to be mending again, because the toll that fast fashion has been taking on the environment, on our earth, and on our brothers and sisters that have been making our clothes abroad, it's staggering. We love to recommend The True Cost. It's a movie that was made a couple of years ago that's really great for just getting the big picture and sort of lifting the veil on the industry and exposing sort of the darker side. It's a great way to just get up to speed on how the fast fashion industry has been affecting the world.
Yeah, so there's this like actual literal aspect to mending where you are slowing down the fast fashion cycle. You don't need to buy so many new clothes because you're mending your clothes. But there's also this internal transformation that takes place that's a little bit less quantifiable, but it's kind of like where you're fixing a hole in your clothes and you start to look around you with new eyes, we call them mending goggles, where you look around and you see a broken cup and you think, maybe I can fix that, or something larger like degraded soil. What can I do to add fertility to that soil? So you kind of like are changing the way that you look at the world and maybe beginning to see yourself as someone who can be a healer or an agent of healing, as opposed to just a consumer who's constantly buying and taking.
I love that. Yeah. On top of all the economic and environmental benefits, you're also just learning a new skill and saving money and just kind of coming back to our roots.
Yeah. Very empowering too, yeah. Both for yourself and also for your community. When you learn these skills and you can offer them for other people, it's this beautiful exchange and relationship building, and, you know, makes you more resilient as a person and makes the entire community more resilient because we're able to take these skills into our own hands.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, we've become really dependent on going out and buying those new clothes with money. And with these sorts of skills, we're able to be more independent and be more resilient to be able to fix things ourselves. And that's a really, really, really important form of just independence.
And so your book, Mending Life, it just came out yesterday, which is so exciting. Congratulations to you both. Where can we go to buy the book, and where can we go to learn more about the work that you're both doing?
Well, we hope that our book is available at folks' local bookstores, but we also recommend our local bookstore, Powell's, and folks who aren't from Portland can find it at powells.com. And also,
I love Powell's.
Yeah, so do we. But it's available at all major retailers. So if you just Google it, you can find it. And then you can find us on Instagram at The Far Woods. That's where we post most of our work, and also on our website, thefarwoods.com.
And we each also have a website too, that's sort of our own work. Nina is ninamontenegro.com, and I am soniamontenegro.com.
Perfect. Well, Sonia and Nina, thank you both so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your knowledge about mending.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. It was great chatting.
And that's a wrap. If you know someone who'd enjoy the Hippie Haven podcast, share it with them or share it on social media. If you post on Instagram, don't forget to tag and follow me at Hippie Haven Shop. This podcast is produced with the help of my amazing communication coordinator, Ray Lynn, who also runs our Hippie Haven Facebook group, which if you haven't already joined, definitely hop on over to Facebook, search Hippie Haven in the groups tab, and join our private community of fellow hippies trying to make a difference in our communities. You can also support our work here at Hippie Haven by leaving a review for the podcast in whichever app you're using to listen, or you can buy us a virtual cup of coffee to keep us going. Visit buymeacoffee.com/hippiehaven to support the work we do with just $4. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. I hope you have a great rest of your day.